Good afternoon. I am excited for this process that we've kind of been going through here for a full year, and really, you know, the coaching staff, myself, getting caught up here the last 4 months, getting prepared for next week. You know, we've had a big head start relative to where we were at last year. Brian Zanders and Matt Russell, Lenny McGill, all of our college scouts. You know, we're way ahead. They've done a great job of putting us in position to have our board exactly where we want it now at this point. There'll be some minor tweaking to it, but really not going to be a whole lot of changes I would anticipate between now and the draft. You know, our system leading up to this is something that takes time, and our guys have really done a lot of work to get on the same page in terms of the evaluation. Our grading system and scale is not the same as it was before, and again, I give a lot of credit to our scouts, Brian Zanders, and the entire personnel department for putting this thing together and putting us in a position right now where we feel very comfortable with the board. We think it's a very deep draft. We are excited about where we're at in terms of having multiple selections in the second round. We feel like we're in a good spot in the first round. You know, there's already been some activity and some calls back and forth in terms of moving up or down. No telling exactly what's going to happen at this point, but you know, there's definitely going to be some interest, and we're going to be interested in those kind of things as well. So, you know, I think we showed last year that, you know, we're going to try to do the best, whatever we think is the best for the Broncos, and we'll do whatever we need to do to try to make our football team better. You know, I know there might be some questions that we want to ask about the trade that we just consummated with Miami for Brandon Marshall. I'll say this, we're pleased with what we were able to ascertain in the deal. We're also, you know, excited for Brandon, wish him the best of luck, and again, we're moving forward and excited to start this process with the draft. So with that said, I'll answer any questions you have about it. Not necessarily, no. I think we're going to go in and try to improve our team in any area that we can. I think our goal going into this offseason was to add competition at any position, regardless if it seemed like we had players there to compete already or not. We wanted to try to improve the competition at each position if we could. We tried to do some of that in free agency, and you know, the draft is just another opportunity for us to add some younger players to our roster. You know, at positions, like I said, might be something of a strong need, but again, at the places we select, first and second rounds in particular, you know, we feel like we're going to get quality players that can come in and compete immediately to make a big impact on our team.
Last year you said you weren't going to move up from 12. Is that pretty much how you stand today? It's less likely, if you're going to move, it's going to be back from that 11 spot?
I'd see there's probably a better chance that that would be the case, but I would not rule out, you know, if there was a certain player that we felt that strongly about. I don't think that that's out of the question. You know, we haven't had any calls necessarily for those kind of things, though. At this point, everything that we've received has been behind us, you know, so the opportunity has to be there. The player has to be there that you're looking for. And we have to feel like it's a fair deal. So I think, like I said, we'll be flexible and we'll listen. I think there's a lot of teams that are still trying to put together their plans and their priorities. And, you know, once we see how that's all going to unfold, then we'll make our decision. But I think the odds would be, you know, in favor of us going backwards, probably because the most opportunity lies there.
Coach, what do you consider your two or three greatest?
You know, we have players at every position. We're out there in our coaching sessions and all that, and there's players, you know, lined up at every spot. So, You know, I think that sometimes that's overrated to sit here and discuss, you know, a greatest need versus another player. I think that's how you make a mistake in a draft, and we're not going to try to do that. Obviously, I think there's, you know, a need and a desire for us to add competition at the center position. That's an obvious one. You know, we just lost a receiver, obviously, that made a lot of plays for us last year, and we got a lot of quality players back at that position this year, and you know. But again, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to go out on a limb and draft one. You know, we've got some. We would like to maybe add some depth in terms of the front seven, the linebackers in particular. We did a lot of the front three in free agency. But again, I think it's just a matter of the player that you feel comfortable with, matching your selections and where you can get them at. So. Like I said, I think it's a deep draft. I think everybody kind of feels that way, and I think that you're going to see a lot of people just kind of hold their water and take a good player. You know, wherever you're at, I think you're going to get a good player in this draft in the first so many rounds, and this may be, you know, you may be getting third round, fourth round players that can come in and compete to play pretty quickly. There's no question about that.
Josh, you just traded away a player that many would consider in this room to have some character issues. You're looking, not, I wouldn't say you're looking, but there is a player in the draft, Des Bryant, who has a tremendous amount of talent, but has some character issues. After what you dealt with Brandon, I understand the situation is different. How much does it give you pause when you evaluate Des Bryant?
We had Des Bryant here the other day, and we spoke to him at the combine, and we've spent time with him, a lot of time with him, actually. And I think there's, you know, I'm not going to comment on Brandon, but Des Bryant, you know, I think you got to be careful with confusing character issues with some people that made some mistakes. This guy's never been arrested. He's never had a drinking issue. He's never done anything that's put him in that position. He's made a few mistakes that he wishes he hadn't made, but I think there's a difference. I don't think, you know, you can say, well, this guy's made a couple mistakes that have been really glorified and made a big deal out of, and all of a sudden you turn him into a really bad kid. That's the farthest thing from the truth relative to that player you're speaking about. We enjoyed our visit with him. He did everything we asked him to do, had a smile on his face. We enjoyed, like I said, we enjoyed the entire visit, and he did well. So I'll say this, he's on our board. There's no question. I know that there's other teams that may have taken him off the board. He's not one of the players that's off of ours.
Do you have a relationship with Nick Saban? Nick Saban coached Lyndon McClain.
Yes, and you know, we've got a fairly good connection there, obviously, and they have a lot of players at Alabama that in this draft are going to get selected, I would say, in the first couple rounds. Rolando was here the same day that Des was here, and again, I don't know, I'm not sure that I've met a more intelligent young man relative to the game of football than Rolando McClain. He's been obviously well coached, but I think even if you're coached well, it takes another side to get to where he's at, and he's obviously done a lot of listening, studying, and understands the game at a level where most kids that would come in as rookies would never be at. And I think that's a credit to him and with the work he's done at Alabama, the way that he was coached, and he's got a very, very bright future ahead of him. He's a good player. There's a lot of them. Like I said, I think there's a lot of players that we had in our building. We had a lot of great visits, I'll say. You know, in the last couple weeks here, we took our full allotment of 30, and really, you know, really took an interest in a lot of players. And you know, it's going to be interesting because the thing about this draft, I think it's deep enough where there's a lot of people that are saying, you know, these players are all going to go in the first round. Well, they all can't. I think that's how deep it is. You're going to be sitting there in the second round saying, I never thought this guy would be here. And, you know, like you said, Rolando McClain, Des Bryant, we've had a number of other players in that are going to get selected right around where we pick. And, you know, we're going to finalize that process here in the next few days because we have to have a plan for if we are picking at 11, that's who it's going to be.
Last year you had a lot. Most of the guys you drafted, you did have in here for visits. Mm-hmm. Other teams may not use their visits the same way, maybe more as smoke screens.
Yeah.
What changed the value of what happens those 3 or 4 hours when the guys are here for
yeah.
you? And How much of it is maybe whatever, you know, just throwing people off?
We don't bring anybody in that we don't sincerely have an interest in. Now, that doesn't mean that the players that we bring in are being questioned the same way. There might be certain things we need to know about players that we didn't know about other players. Or it might just be a thing where we want to put them on the board again. When they're here, we have an opportunity to, watch their tape with them, let them talk about their system, what they're doing on those plays. You get a feel for how well they knew what they were doing and then what they were responsible for and coached for at their universities. And then we try to teach them our stuff. We put them in the classroom just like they would be in rookie minicamp. And we say, all right, here's the first five things that are going to go in. And then we'll come back around to it. And we'll say, okay, now what are you doing on this? What are you doing on that? And you get a feel and a sense for how they learn. And we always tell them right at the beginning of the visit, it's a two-way street. There's nothing that says that they can't ask us, 50 questions while they're in the building. And we encourage them to do that. I think we had, like I said, we had 30 visits, and every one of them was very productive for us. We learned everything we needed to know about the players that were here. And like I said, they did well and just kind of solidified our understanding of what they were.
Did you paranoia at all about teams finding out who you have in here, or was it all about you?
It doesn't matter. I don't know what, who knows, whether we had so-and-so in here or not. I don't think it matters. I think it's our process, and we won't be finished with that process until Wednesday night, so there might still be some work to be done, obviously. And we'll take all the time that we have. But I don't think it's a big secret thing. You have 30 good football players in your building. You can't take them all. They know that. So I don't think you're going to fool anybody into doing anything foolish.
Josh, you mentioned that the odds of you moving down are better than the odds of moving up. Do you want to move down, or do you want to stay in there?
I think there's going to be a plan for both. There's no question about that. You can never go into a draft and not be ready to make the selection at the spot that you have. If you do assume that you're automatically going to have a nice, convenient trade partner, you can get burned real quickly. So we're going to be ready to pick at 11. We're going to have, like last year, we were, one spot different, but we had, a couple guys in mind that we would take at that spot, and whichever one of them was the highest on the board at that time, that's the guy we were going to select, and it happened to be Noshon, and this year will be the same. There's a few players that we would take at that spot, and again, that process will culminate here in the next couple days. But I think that if you feel, to me, it's all about who went ahead of you. If you have a list of three or four players that you really would like to get your hands on one of them, and three of them are gone, and you're trading significantly down the board, I think you have to make a decision about that. You can pick up picks and maybe players and all the rest of that stuff, but if you're going to lose the players that you really covet in the first round, I think you got to be careful about making that decision.
Josh, you mentioned
that
your draft rating system and scale have changed.
Yeah. We try to grade. Necessarily guess on rounds that players are going to be selected. We grade every player that's eligible for the draft in terms of their fit for our football team, regardless of what everybody else thinks about them. And to me, that's the beauty of what we have is it doesn't matter what Oakland thinks of them or San Diego or Jacksonville or somebody else. For us, he is a blank second year starter at outside linebacker, and it's very detailed, very descriptive, takes a lot of things into consideration, and it projects. We always look at it on a 2-year scale, because we understand that rookies, when they come in that first year, they've got a lot to learn, and to be able to get up to speed and play at this level, sometimes it takes them a full year. So we always look at it on a 2-year projection, and where's he going to be at after 2 years? And at that point, we project him as a starter, as a key backup, as a core special teams player, and a versatility obviously is taken into consideration, because that can enhance a player's grade. The more that he can do, the better off he is for us.
That was
what I was familiar with. The system that they had before, I didn't really necessarily have a lot of familiarity with what they did, because we did transfer it last year. But the scouts, what I'm saying is the scouts had to learn that you know, within 2 months of the draft last year. This year, they had an entire calendar year, obviously, to be prepared and to really let that sink in. We have basically what amounts to training tapes to try to describe exactly what that grade means, you know, and so we've that's why I said the personnel department, Brian, has done a great job of getting the scouts really ready to go in terms of understanding that. Our board last year, we had to shuffle a lot because they were kind of, you know, in the middle of learning our system and still kind of using the old one. And then we got it to where we needed to get it, you know, the week of the draft. This year, we had our board ready to go in terms of the initial look at it by January. And that's, I think that gives you 3-4 months to really nail down exactly where you want it. And like I said, a lot of credit goes to those people that did that because we started at a much, you know, a much better place this year than we did last year.
Are there more people on
the board? There might be. I think, I mean, we haven't counted the whole number as of right now, but I think there's probably a little bit more depth on this year's board than there was last year. I think, like, again, a lot of the juniors that came out really kind of pumped up certain positions and made this a deeper draft at some places that maybe it wouldn't necessarily have been. So I think there, from a number standpoint, I don't have a number in my head right now, but from a number standpoint, I think the board will look a little bit different, a little bit fuller than it was last year.
Did Eric live up to where he was?
Again, we're into year two. I know this. He's doing a great job right now in our off-season program. He's got a great attitude, and you know, he understands the role that we hope for him to play this year on our football team, and I think he really wants to meet us right where he's at. So. Again, like I said, we drafted what we felt were good quality players that fit our system and what we want to do with them. And again, we're going to continue to coach them and get them to where we think they can be.
What's your current thoughts and feelings on Tony Scheffler?
Say it one more time.
What's your current thoughts and feelings on Tony
Scheffler? You know, I don't necessarily know exactly what's going to happen with that. I know that there's been some teams that have called about him. Obviously, there's nothing imminent regarding that. You know, he's one of the RFAs that have signed their tenders. Kyle signed his, Chris signed his, obviously. So, you know, we'll see what happens. We have no, you know, timeline or no necessarily concrete plan on what's going to happen with that, but we're going to let that play out.
Are you aware of what Marvin Lewis said today?
Say it again.
Are you just aware of, you know, I'm sure you mentioned some teams that, you know, called you.
Yeah. We have not talked to the Bengals. I can say that.
What's going on with Elvis Dumervil?
Nothing. You know, I know that's a frustrating situation, I think, for all of us. I mean, we're looking at a place right now in the league where there's some uncertainty, you know, for us going forward. I think that's holding up some things, you know, on a lot of teams and within a lot of organizations. And, you know, I think that's part of this whole entire thing. We're thrilled with Elvis Dumervil's season last year and excited to have him back and looking forward to his production continuing on for years, you know. And as of right now, you know, I know he's working hard in Miami. He stays in touch with Wink. And again, I think that we'll all be excited when he's back. And but, you know, it is what it is. And other than that, there's not a whole lot to talk about.
Just you know, Brandon's situation, getting the contract that he finally did for Miami, it kind of noise and leading up to it. Contrasting with Elvis, he's kind of just kind of gone about this. I know he's not here, but he's training in Miami. What are your thoughts on just kind of the way he's kind of waded through this process? And you talked about kind of frustration a little bit. I'm sure he's a little frustrated, too.
I'm not frustrated with Elvis.
No. Frustrated with the fact that, you know, can't reward.
Yeah. I totally understand Elvis's position, and I'm not upset about it at all. Respect whatever he chooses to do, I totally respect that. And again, I think he's got a great deal of respect and admiration from within this building. Everybody feels the same way about Elvis Dumervil, and you know, and again, it's something I think time will play it out. And we'll see how it goes, but this isn't something that's a negative towards Elvis Dumervil.
Coach, as your offense stands now, do you think you're tough enough to run the type of offense you want to run?
That's a great question. I hope so. But I think that, you know, that kind of plays out in training camp. We talk about the OTAs that we're getting ready to have starting in May. as the time where you can really kind of begin the competitive part of your evaluations of the players. And then you're also throwing a lot of scheme at them to get that part of the system going. And then the toughness part, I think that when you build that is in training camp. I mean, you don't have pads on in the spring and all that. And I don't think, you know, it's fair for me to say right here in April that our team is going to be this tough or that tough, you know, come September. I think the way that they're working over there in the off-season program is incredible. We've had a great turnout. The enthusiasm and energy over there is awesome. We've changed our off-season program quite a bit, and I think the players are excited about the new things we're doing. And there's a goal in mind, obviously, we're working to get bigger, faster, stronger, and they've embraced that entire thing. And I think, you know, all of us have work to do in that regard. It's not just physical toughness, it's mental toughness, it's handling adversity, it's bouncing back from a loss. There's a lot of things that we can do better as a group, and that starts with us. And, you know, we'll find out more about that as training camp goes along.
So is it fair to say you weren't satisfied with the toughness level on different aspects last year then?
I think that there's certain things that you can, you can talk about. And I think your toughness of your football team comes from your coverage units and your ability to run the football and stop the run. And there were times last year that we were very good in those areas, and there were other times that we weren't. The statistics don't lie to you in that regard. And but, you know, like I said, there's other types of toughness, and we've got to be able to respond to some of the situations that we put ourselves in last year and do a little bit better in terms of bouncing back. I think that's something that probably could be addressed. It's an interesting area of the draft because there's some players that have played tackle that are being projected to guard. There's some players that have played center that are being projected to guard. And you've got to make a choice based on what you see on film, you know, and arm length and ability to get out of their stance and all the rest of it, on how deep you feel the actual guard spot actually is, or are some of those players actually in another column. So there's never, I would say, an overabundance of those kind of players in a draft, and this year's no different. But I think that it's something that you certainly would love to address. An inside spot in there to add some competition to would definitely be something that we'd be interested in.
Three offensive positions. Tackle, Ryan Harris had the season ending. Mm-hmm. This is a strong draft in tackles, they say. So there, mm-hmm. Question two.
What's the question? You're telling me that. I appreciate that.
Gist of the question. What could be a question? Interested in? Would you like to?
You got any more questions?
Would you like to address offensive tackle in this?
I think we feel very, very comfortable, obviously, with our tackles. Obviously, it's unfortunate Ryan had the injury last year, but he's. His rehab is coming along wonderfully, and he's got a great attitude about it. He's one of the first people I usually see every morning here, so he's dedicated and determined to come back at full strength and be ready to go for this season. Tyler obviously played a lot of football for us last year, we've got some players that have played a lot of snaps here. I think if it falls, the interesting thing about the tackles is sometimes the run starts and it doesn't stop until they're out, and it happens early. So usually if you're gonna end up with one of those guys at the top of a lot of boards, you're gonna have to do it quick, and that's a decision you got to make. And I would say with our situation as it currently stands, we feel comfortable with the two players that we have in terms of the starting roles, and we'll see how the draft unfolds. Obviously, you don't pass up a really, really talented player if there's nobody that you feel better about. But, like I said, I don't think that's necessarily a direction that we're looking to do early in the draft. He's asking his second and third questions.
Ask a question.
Yeah.
Quarterback was something that you guys were looking at in the draft before Brady Quinn was acquired.
It was?
Was
I'm telling you.
Anyway, I was brought up, perhaps. You interviewed a few.
We're still doing the work. We're gonna definitely do the work.
I mean,
Yep. Yep. We talked to a number of quarterbacks at the combine. Had Tim in the other day. And obviously, like I said, if it's a situation where there's a player that you feel very good about going forward, whether it's at quarterback or another position, we're not going to turn our head away just because we have three on the roster. I mean, you know, we have three capable players. That's what we feel like. And the competition right now is intense. And, you know, those guys are really working at it. They're improving each other, which is great. But again, like I said, we're not gonna overlook any position. We feel like we're deep at a lot of positions, in some situations on our team. But that doesn't mean that we're not gonna draft a player there and add him to the mix.
How about running back?
Same thing. We've evaluated.
Good depth there.
We've evaluated a bunch. I think JJ's really working hard to get himself ready to go. And be back to where he was. Because we were excited about that possibility last year, and it didn't work out because of the leg injury. But we're excited about what he's doing. He's excited to be here, and I think that's really interesting. Bruce Hall, Lance Ball, they're both two young kids, too, that we feel good about. And really, when you look at the board, if you're not going to get one high, which I don't think necessarily that's high on our radar, if you're not going to take one high, then you got to look at it and weigh it and say, all right, is this guy that we're bringing in going to end up being able to beat out one of those two young kids? Because we've got some young guys that we like. We like some of the things that they can do. They're both smart. I think that's always a question in your mind. You don't want to make a selection in the third or fourth round and say, all right, we're going to be deciding whether to cut this player, because you certainly want him to be on the roster. Say it again.
Gerhardt.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a player that, you know, you got to look at. You know, we had Hardesty in too from Tennessee. We had Spiller in. You know, we've had a lot of backs in. And again, if it's the right situation for your team and you feel comfortable with it, I think the reason you do all that is because you don't know who's going to be there in the second or third round. You know, and if it's a position where you say, boy, we got wiped out at that position, we're wiped out here, but that guy's going to make our team better, then I think you better have done your work. His visit was pretty good. He's a pretty neat kid and impressed everybody here.
You mentioned that you took the lead in the second
round? No, not really.
You mentioned that you took three guys in free agency.
On defense,
right.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think that is a position that there is some depth to this year in the draft. The place we wanted to put ourselves in, we've got three experienced guys. You know, everybody else will call them old. We've got three experienced guys that we added to the front seven. But we've got a lot of younger players right behind them that played a ton of football last year. And what we wanted to try to do is blend some experience with the youth that played, you know, in some cases 600-700 snaps last year and started 14 to 16 games. Ron Fields, Ryan McBean, LaKeven Smith played, you know, so we've got a lot of people. Marcus Thomas has started a bunch of games in his career. So we've got a lot of depth there in terms of youth. And Our decision is going to be, is that player going to make a significant impact in our front seven immediately, which means he's going to be able to play early, or is he going to be better than the youth behind those guys? So, you know, if we feel like there's a guy there, and there is some depth this year at end and at nose, depending on who you talk to and how you evaluate him, but there's some depth there, and I think that there's some players that we would definitely be interested in the front seven on the first 2 days.
A few more coaches.
Yes.
A great prospect that knows, and you also have the opportunity to move back.
Yes. I think it would depend on. I think we would. I mean, we would be interested in taking a player at that position if he's going to be that kind of a player. There's no question. I think the thing would be, what's the trade off? You know, what is the trade? How far are you going? Can you still get that player where you're going, or is that out of the question, or is there some other players in that tier that you feel good about if you have to go a little further? And obviously the compensation would have to be right. But, yes, I think that you don't ever turn away, I don't think, a good player in the front seven.
Josh, you said you got three capable quarterbacks, but most coaches will tell you good, talented players make coaches look good and help you win. What do you say to the guys say to Broncos fans that may be frustrated that in a year they've seen a Pro Bowl quarterback and a Pro Bowl receiver traded?
And I understand that, but I would say this: that you know we're trying to build, you know we're trying to build a football team that can be competitive for championships, and that doesn't mean that those two players couldn't have helped us. But I think that we're trying to build an entire team that is going to win in different ways: unselfish, smart, versatile, tough. Those kind of things, and for different reasons, those players are not here. I mean, let's be honest. So, you know, we're trying to do that. We haven't made the playoffs recently. We obviously haven't finished the season well. We didn't finish it well this year. So, we're trying to get better. We're trying to improve this team. We're trying to create a roster full of guys that feel the same way, and their ultimate goal is to win a championship. And you know, that's what we're committed to doing. Yes, I've had a I've had experience with a player on a team in New England that also had that. I've had two friends of mine that have had that and battled that before, and we think it's a low risk type of a situation. It's a situation where you know, if you're taking your medication, if you're doing the right things, if you're not eating the wrong kinds of foods, those kind of things, you can kind of keep the flare up to a very minimal basis. And I think that everybody kind of feels the same way about that. We talked to him about it the other day. He's got his under control, and he feels comfortable with where he's at, which is the most important thing. Our doctors and medical people are familiar with that whole situation, and we feel like that is not a reason not to draft Rolando McClain. Yeah.
Could you evaluate Dan Williams?
Say it again.
Could you evaluate Dan Williams?
The Tennessee tackle? Yeah. Excuse me. He's a big athletic player. Obviously, he's played inside at nose, really, for the most part at Tennessee. But the thing we think about Dan is that he's got a play radius that's a little different than some noses, meaning he can make tackles over there on the sideline. Which some people, you know, we've kind of gone back and forth on it. Could he even play end because he's that athletic? I mean, he's an athletic player who's really had one solid year of production, which, you know, always is something to take a look at. But he's a good kid. We had a good visit with him here. We also worked him out at Tennessee. We've done our work and our research on him, and he's a player that I think is going to go probably somewhere right around where we pick. There's no question about it. But we do have an interest in Dan Williams. He is a good player. He's a good kid, and you know, we think that would be a possibility.
Woody.
Woody.
You don't answer. I have specific questions. I assume that Patrick will give out the list of the 30 players you've had in here at the end of this. But
I can name them all right now.
You talked about three of them, specifically Tim Tebow.
Yep.
In regard to him.
Sean Witherspoon, the linebacker from Missouri, was very impressive. He's a bright kid, every way, name it, and he was impressive. His knowledge of his system, his ability to retain our system. His interaction with our coaches, that was great. McClain, obviously, I talked about him. Dan Williams, we've had quite a few. I mean, Tebow, you mentioned Tebow, and he's everything that you guys have ever read or written about a player like that. You know, and he was extremely impressive. We did not. No, we did not. We talked to him at the combine. Good kid. I'm very familiar with him, obviously, based on some connections that I had at Notre Dame.
Do you think, in terms of Tebow, I mean, there's a lot of controversy about him, based on what you've seen and talked to him, and the film in it, and your whole team is taking a long look at him.
No question. He's. I mean, you look at the tape, and the only thing that you can say about the tape that isn't flattering or very impressive is that he dips the ball a hair. He's already fixed that. And I think that that's something that you can fix through repetition. He's already done it. He proved that at his pro day. Everything else that you're watching on film is accurate, tough, smart, good leader, versatile, can move out of the pocket, can move in the pocket, can run with the ball. I mean, this guy scored, he's what, third leading passer all time and the leading scorer and rushing touchdowns over Herschel. I mean, there's so many things you can say about the kid. And then to top that all off, he's every bit the person that, you read about before you got the chance to meet him. He's very enthusiastic, wants to work hard, smart, bright, one of the smarter players I've ever been around in terms of coming out of college. His understanding. Does it sound like it? Does it sound like it? No, I'll tell you, he's, like I said, I'll answer the question that Mike asked. I don't think you rule anything out. And you certainly don't rule out, adding a player with all of those traits and qualities to your football team if you feel like at the spot that you're picking that it fits you. He's one of those kids where you don't really, there's nothing really you can say that are bad about him.
How many years away from being a starter?
If you talk to him, it'll be, the day he's drafted. But, I don't know that. That's a good question. I think if he gets, it depends on, where he goes, the system he's going into, and what you're trying to do with him, and then also who's there. He's got to compete. If he was here, he's going to compete with players that have already played in the National Football League and started a lot of games in one game. So, there's situations where he could go into that maybe that's not necessarily the case. I don't know. But I know that, I think that would all depend on, where he goes and where he ends up.
Josh, your approach, Josh, the difference between last year and this year, I had to shout it out.
I know. I was trying.
What did you do well last year in your opinion? What did you not do so well? How are you tweaking those things and making this second year better?
When you're saying that, are you talking about just in generalities here?
I'm asking how you felt about the approach you took last year compared to the approach, I'm assuming a higher comfort level this year.
You're talking about me personally? Oh. I feel like I have 1 year of experience. That's what it is at this position. I've been able to now evaluate our performance instead of just putting into place what I had experienced in the past. And I think that's why we're going to be different than, a place that I've been before. Because we're not doing it somebody else's way, and we have our own experience, our own successes and failures to look back on and say we've got to do some of those things differently to get a different result, to get a different reaction. We've tweaked the off-season program considerably, and that was a group decision. How we're running the entire off-season in terms of our staff is different than we did last year. Our staff is doing a great job of managing the offensive system and the defensive system, and then I kind of get caught up as we go. Last year I was in basically all, if not all of those meetings myself, which has allowed all of our staff to kind of come together and contribute a little bit more. That's been great. Brian obviously has done a great job of understanding the scouting system, the personnel, the free agent market. And again, last year we were kind of trying to implement a little bit of a different system than they had ever experienced before, so that was a lot smoother.
I guess what I was talking about was draft day.
Oh, okay. Great. Why don't you say that, Les? Jeez. God damn. Draft day?
He does talk radio.
Golly, jeez.
How's your approach?
On draft day?
On draft.
I don't think draft day is going to be a lot different for us. I'll say the difference is going to be between day one and day two. Because instead of rolling into the second round as we did last year, we'll have a lot of time on our hands, as will everyone else, to sit there and look and say, like I said earlier, I can't believe that so-and-so is still on the board right now. And there's probably going to be a couple of those players for each team. You know, our board's obviously different than everybody else's, and theirs are different than ours. So, you know, I think we're all going to be sitting there looking at that late that first night, saying, is this something we want to consider doing? Because we can't believe that guy's still on the board. So I think our initial first day, you know, it'll be pretty much the same. We're going to have our plan ready to go if we pick 11, we pick 11. You know, if we pick later, we pick later, you know, and we'll have our guys ready to go in that order. I would assume by draft day we would already have some phone calls, you know, if our guy's there, we'll be interested, that kind of thing, and kind of you throw out some hypothetical scenarios so that you can just put them into action quickly if the scenario kind of plays out the way the other team wants it. So, but I think the biggest change for us is going to be from day one to day two and all the interaction that takes place there and how aggressive you choose to be, because you do have a lot more time. You know, it seems the draft is the same, it's just broken up differently. So I think time is always something that makes people think a little bit more about what's left. And there's quite a few teams, I'd say, and we're one of them, obviously, that have multiple second-round selections. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and how flexible other people want to be moving down or moving up. And we're one of the teams that obviously has some flexibility to try to move up if we choose.
Thank you, Josh.
If you got the direction from the top, or direction in regard to money, given...
Never.
So...
No, let me rephrase this, Woody. Are we operating on some kind of a, you know, hey, this is our budget, like we do every year? Yes. But there's been absolutely no change in that philosophy this year from last year, or in my understanding, any year prior. So there has been no change in that.
So if, let's say, for a second, if the second round draft choice would come to you, and you wanted that so badly. And
you mean a player? You mean a player?
Second pick overall.
Oh, you mean number two in the first round?
Based on previous years, that's a $35, $40 million player.
Yep.
That you can still operate in this system under previous concepts.
Yes.
About how you can spend money.
Yes.
Of moving up, moving down.
Yes. Yes. No restriction. I think the interesting thing is going to be, again, a little bit of the uncertainty going forward. You know, in terms of the next so many years, right now we're kind of under we're just going to kind of go through it with a little bit of caution.
That's what I'm asking. It's more self-imposed.
Yes.
Right now.
There's no restrictions on us, I don't think, and there's no different restrictions on us than there would be any other team. Period. End of sentence. Good to go? Huh?
If we heard you correct,
yes. You got it.
All right. Headline right there.
I love
it.
If we could only get 30 first round draft picks.